It is the final Tuesday of the month of April, and that means it is MCCSC school board meeting night, and that means we get to catch up with our great friend, the superintendent, Dr. Jeff Hoswald. Good afternoon, buddy. How are you?
I'm great, Mike. How are you?
I was in Paoli last Saturday and Sunday and standing in 40-degree weather watching youth baseball as the sleet bounced off my rain gear. I thought it was hot down there. Hot, hot, hot down there by the river. No? No? You got to go further? Further? Not south enough?
You got to go further. That's
I'm just having some
fun. You got to get all the way down to the Ohio River. It's always balmy and warm in the Ohio River Valley. But down in Paoli, you know, it's probably similar to here. So
they were probably upset the peaks were not open and covered with snow on such a momentous occasion.
It almost could have been. Yeah, I kind of like Paoli. I saw a statistic. I think Paoli has maybe the oldest or second oldest courthouse. It has the oldest active courthouse in the state of Indiana. It's kind of cool, isn't it?
That's why we always like to talk to you. We get great facts about things. But in sad news, did you see that Butt Drugs is out of business? Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw a hometown. The family, we've known them for a long time. I saw that they are closing shop this weekend. So, sort of childhood memories of going to the soda fountain there and, of course, all of our Butt Drug needs.
And, again, the little guy getting run out by the big guy. Tell me if you ever heard that story before. You haven't?
Yeah, I know. It's simply I think a lot of places are in this position, but small town independent-run pharmacies, I think, struggle, and that's the story of Butt Drugs, which is a primarily a pharmacy. And, per the Katie Butt, who is I think third or fourth generation that runs it.
Yeah, I think I saw 77 years or something in that department.
Yeah,
so
yeah. Right,
tough.
Right down there on Chestnut Street. So I hate to hear that, but there's a lot of positive things in the little hometown of Cordon where I grew up, and hopefully that there'll be a way to restore. The soda fountain is really neat, and it was kind of my mom called to tell me the news, so you know.
Oh, that's a big deal. That's why I brought it up to you, because I thought that would be
right.
That's something that would resonate. Now, last time we spoke, you gave me homework to go look at the crossword puzzle on Friday from the LA Times, Washington Times, or whoever puts out. I did, and I have to admit, I could have ran and hid in the corner and hoped you didn't bring this up. I could have stuck my head in the sand and just pretended all went. I went and I looked at the clues down and across, back and forth, and I couldn't figure out. I think you two said it best. I still haven't found what I'm looking for.
What was that one answer that you knew?
Well, I had two, but it wasn't anything that I thought that would pertain to our discussion. So please, I haven't slept in a month. What did I miss?
Well, Bloomington North Junior Rena Cohen created that crossword puzzle. It was published. The idea was to look at the author. It's a junior at Bloomington North High School. And she created it in its entirety. She loves words, word games, and she's the second student we've had that have actually had a crossword published by a major newspaper. A few years ago, Daniel Larson graduated from MCCSC and became the youngest person in history to have a crossword published in the New York Times. But Rena, she is a junior in high school, and she's writing puzzles that are being accepted, approved, and published by, in this case, the LA Times and the Washington Post. So, yeah, you're less about the puzzle, more about the author.
Ah, well, I was in the right neighborhood. I just didn't get I did not deliver the pizza to the right house.
Isn't that cool? Isn't that now? But
that's
were
a great
you able
story.
To complete it, Mike?
No, because I went through all the clues twice, and I said to myself, well, if Hoswald has sent me here, it has to be something that I would think would jump off the page and just reach out and, you know, slap me around a little bit. So no, I did not try to. I didn't know if I put all the, you know, all the letters and with the, like the little circles in there, if that comes out to, like, you know, MCCSC is the best.
You didn't get any of it. You didn't get any of the clues?
Oh, I got some of the clues. I just didn't. I didn't spend my time putting it all together and you know, Googling every answer that I didn't know.
Well,
that violates the
spirit. The answer to 2 + 2 is FOUR. Maybe that's where you're struggling.
Four. Oh, it's not F-O-R-E. I'm sorry. I've got that confused as well. The superintendent puts up with me at least once a month, and that's the great
that's
news.
Right.
Now, isn't there a program at Indiana University? Who is the famous puzzle guy? Doesn't he have a degree path over at I'm getting
my
in the weeds
here. His name's Will Short.
Will Short, yeah.
If you ever listened to the Puzzle Master, I know that he is apparently on one of the morning shows and does a lot of puzzles. And I think for the New York Times, but I don't know him, but I understand he graduated from IU with a customized degree. So that's pretty cool.
And I want to say that he has a program there now for aspiring puzzle. I don't know. I should probably look that up at some point. Or somebody a lot smarter than me will let me know. Yeah. I'm either erroneous or correct in my
me
observations.
Too. Me too. I'm generally incorrect.
All right. So what was the other part of my homework? It was doing that and I had something else, but I can't remember what the something else was. So the other was
we were going to talk about how much money Bloomington North and South Dance Marathon raised.
Oh,
for
that's
Riley
right.
Kids.
The final
and
number.
I have the final amount, $130,523.27. So our students raised more than $130,000. That's just awesome.
That is a fantastic number. And I don't mean this in a persnickety or a pedant style. Is that the record? Is that great? Is it getting better from pre-COVID stuff? Did we have a range in there?
I know that it is. They continually increase, so I don't know how far back this. I know it's an improvement, but I don't know if it's an all-time record. I just know that it is a, it's significantly higher. So
great.
There you go.
Great news. And that's from all the folks that participate in that.
That's right.
The other homework I had for you is we had an additional day off that was not in our calendar the last time we were speaking because your teachers, I'm not going to say your teachers. I'm going to let you tell the story about why we had a day off on April 13th, the reaction, and why you believe that was a positive thing for your community.
Well, I think that, number one, we want our teachers to feel supported, and we want our schools to be properly funded and adequately funded. So, at the administrative end, our only question is, can we safely operate schools? In this case, we had more than 400 of our teachers request a personal day off, which they're entitled in their contract to do. And so it was not safe for us to operate in-person instruction. A lot of schools do have about 3 built-in e-learning days a year. MCCSC does not do that. We all of our days are in person unless we have inclement weather. So this is our second in-person day. I know some districts automatically have 3 built-in. So we had mostly positive feedback from parents, from community members, kind of supporting our teachers. And, I was very clear that while the official reason that we went to e-learning was because we did not have enough substitutes, the main reason was our teachers felt compelled to go to the state house to try to advocate for adequate funding. Our state has record surpluses, and I think their voice was heard. I really do. I know that the Senate budget that came out after they were there was more favorable. We know we have a shortage of teachers in Indiana, and you always say, show me your checkbook, your register, and I'll show you your priorities. And so we just want to make sure that our schools are properly and adequately funded. And I think they were heard. It was great. I went there in the morning to support them, but they have to carry the voice and basically lobby and articulate and make sure people are clear on the needs. And I think they did that. I think they expressed that concern. I know that the Senate budget was higher. I know that by Friday we should hopefully the House and Senate have come together and we have a final budget that's approved so that they can adjourn. We are optimistic that the funding will be significantly higher. Part of the reason they went was the House budget only had increases of 2.5% a year. Those combined in 2 years was less than 1 year of inflation, and we have to keep our salaries on par with inflationary adjustments, or we're going to continue to see shortages. I know our teachers had other fair concerns, some of their discussion rights being taken away, as well as some of the other bills that might particularly limit the curriculum they teach and how they adopt it. And so we supported them, and I do believe it was the right thing to do, and I think it was effective.
Excellent. And that happens not every budget year, just in certain circumstances. So, again, we'll keep our eyes and ears open, and it gave everybody an asynchronous, I learned what that meant, asynchronous learning day, which means just get your work done already. We're not going to sit here and time you in and out of class and all that fun stuff. So, okay. Well, speaking of days off, we have another very important day off. It's 1 week from today. It is the May primary election, and this has been on the MCCSC calendar for as long as, well, at least a handful of years. I'm not going to put my 8, 9, 6, 5, something like that. It's been a while, but we know the first Tuesday after the first Monday in May, we will have the buildings not open for students. Go ahead and tell everybody why.
Yeah, I think this has become a much more common practice for school districts for a lot of reasons, but MCCSC closes on Election Day for primary as well as general elections. And so that on average hits twice a year, every November and May. And a lot of schools have always had built-in professional development days. So we've moved many school districts, including MCCSC, has moved that day to Election Day. There's a lot of benefits to that, and that includes that in many places our schools are polling places, and so we want to keep our students safe. We want to make sure that our schools are completely open for polling if there is a polling if there are polling sites that are in our schools. And so it's just a easy way to also provide hopefully flexibility for some of our employees and staff to make sure that that they can go vote. And so we do have professional development that day. And on that day, a lot of our primary teachers are off because they do an extra day for parent-teacher conferences, whereas our secondary teachers will be in professional development that day for grades 7 to 12. So in November, for the general election each year, all of our teachers have professional development. In May, May 2nd, it will be for mostly our secondary teachers.
How do you determine what goes into that professional development day, since you mentioned you have a couple of them a year? What topics of interest are covered on those days?
Well, a lot of it's curricular-based. So in the fall, there was a lot of conversation about professional learning committees and communities, and that's the process by which our teachers collaborate and learn together. Lots of conversations about assessment, how we differentiate instruction, how we create inclusive classrooms, and by that, how we do centers, how we make sure we create a welcoming environment. We also have conversations about restorative practices, and that's just simply how we make sure that we can create conditions for all of our students to learn. So some things are about how to teach, some conversations are about what to teach, some conversations are about how to test. So it really just gets down the weed and provides meaningful professional development for our teachers.
Dr. Jeff Oswald is our guest, and boy, oh boy, if we're talking about next week, that means May, and the countdown is on. Mm-hmm. How many days if we're scoring at home? 17, 18? I'd have to check my school email from today. They have it right there on the front, so none of us can
16.
Forget. 16 after today. Well, that's fantastic.
Oh, no, 17.
17?
I'm sorry. Right. I think 17. Yeah, you know. So, 14, 15, 17.
Minus 2, carry the 1. Yeah, it's going to be here. It's going to be here before we know it. And when we get things that are, wrapping some things up, where do you want to go? You want to go forward into the great award season that's down the road? When am I going to talk to you in May? Because school's going to be out. We've got a Memorial Day in there. I'll let you run riot. You tell me what's most important. But we know all the evening of stars and personal achievement. We got all these great things coming up, and I don't want anybody to miss out on any of those.
No, there's so many great events taking place. So most of our graduations will take place. Bloomington Graduation School, the Academy, North and South. Those happen after our next meeting. So I'll try to save some of those.
Good.
Of course, but we always look forward to our Evening of Stars. That's going to be on Thursday, May the 4th. That's where we recognize all of our retirees, as well as what we call our stars. And those are people nominated by their peers in all of our schools for the outstanding work. It's at the convention center. It's just an incredible activity and event, and you know, we always look forward to that. And of course, in the month of May, we get into award season. It's almost impossible to just narrow down. Right. I mean, my calendar's chock full. Whether it's
well, that's what I was going to ask you about. When do you come up for air? Is that possible?
Yeah, well, after Memorial Day.
That's good. That is
so.
Good.
Yeah, of course, our last graduation is Memorial Day weekend on Saturday, May 27th. That's when this year it's north's in the morning, south's in the afternoon. And then we just take a deep breath, right? And then we quickly start transitioning to the 23-24 school year.
Well, and yeah, and then we'll have all kinds of fun things like summer school and camps, adventure camp, and all the great things that go on with that. But right, that's in the summertime. You had a busy weekend at Unionville. They had a big Earthfest celebration last Saturday. Boy, I hope no one got frostbite out there. And then this Saturday, we're going to have some fun. We're going to have a family fun run. Geez, I'm getting sweaty just talking about it.
That's right. We have a family fun run at Grandview, so it's a pretty cool event. Of course, there's information on Grandview's website. You can email the principal, Claire McCaskill, but it's out at Grandview. It's a 5K. It's pretty cool. I know we also have a community, the PTO sponsoring a large community field day, just a spring festival at Marlin on Saturday. So we did that. The invitations keep coming, and we love it. This is a time of year where really our parents, our teachers, our students just start celebrating the learning that took place this year and the communities that exist in all of our schools.
That's very, very important. Last night you had some awards to give out, or not last night, but here recently, the Personal Achievement Awards. Well, you've got a lot of kids to choose from there. How do you narrow that down? And you had some great help from one of your great sponsors.
Yeah, so the Personal Achievement Award, that what we do is every year the foundation really sponsors this, and it's a chance for at the secondary level, the high school level, our teachers to nominate students that have really showed personal achievement, whether that they've overcome barriers or obstacles, they've really showed grit and determination, and really just improved their performance. And we just heard so many amazing stories. So it's a really neat event. You know, out of the athletic director's office at IU, Tom Morris did was a motivational speaker, and you know, he's so powerful in his message. And then, of course, we listen to all of the different teachers just speak about their students. And some of those barriers are, you know, whether that's first-generation families that you know, are English learners, whether that's students dealing with personal loss, or just lots of barriers, and just how they've overcome that really turn the narrative around, and that they are succeeding. And it's just a great evening, and we appreciate the foundation putting that on. Lots of sponsors, and that includes many, many businesses that help us provide scholarships and really just celebrate individual students that have really excelled and really done the work that we asked them to do.
Outstanding. And it's great to recognize them because, again, yeah, it makes a huge difference in their lives. Well, let's have some fun with the Children's Expo. Then we'll get to your agenda for tonight. I don't want people to miss out on it. I didn't know you had 4,000 things going on here in a week. Gee whiz. You're right. Your calendar is full. And while you can run at Grandview in the morning, in the afternoon at the Switchyard Park Pavilion from 1 to 4, Bloomington Parks and Recs is the 2023 Children's Expo. Well, that's fun as well.
Yeah, we encourage people to go out there. And if you're not familiar with it, it's from 1 to 4. It's, as you said, Switchyard Park. It's really just the annual. It's an annual exhibit, and there's so many great things. But, of course, we will be there. We will have information. And really just a lot for families. There's just so much information about summer opportunities, about whether it's museums, whether it's whether it's different ways that they can explore as families, whether it's groups, whether it's sponsorships. I mean, there's just so many things taking place out there, and it's a pretty fun event. So we encourage people to stop by.
Yeah, you had a great event at South last Saturday with all the health people out there. So
Healthapalooza.
I was there for Metallica, and they didn't take the stage. It was weird. That's
were you at the Healthapalooza?
No, I was in Paoli freezing my palooza off.
Well, that's, It was a great event and really gave us a chance to showcase just a lot of the different opportunities, health education, and it was really well attended, and we really appreciate Bloomington South for putting that on. Speaking of that, we continue to have parent university events, and I do want to slip in there that we have our last parent university for this year, and it's on free and inexpensive enrichment ideas for children. So that's families that want to know what are some ways by which we can provide some enrichment, some programs, some opportunities for our students, including over the summer. It kind of links back to the Children's Expo. That's going to be Thursday, April 27th at the CoLab at 6 o'clock. It's a free event, and there's information about that on our website.
And the best place to get all this information is mccsc.edu, and you can see everything that's going on. All right, what's in the superintendent's report tonight? 6 o'clock, the CoLab, 553 East Miller Drive, open to the public and ready to go.
That's right. Come on out. We don't really have a packed agenda. You can see tonight we are going to be hiring a new director of special education. We are going to continue talking about our strategic plan. Tonight we're talking about our staff diversity, which is diversity goal number one. The board's going to have some conversations about continuing to consider whether they want to reorganize the board district seats. In other words, I think the concern has come from the fact that a lot of their the districts they represent are pretty unequal in population. And so they'll be considering that. And, like I said, it should be a pretty brief meeting.
Where did you get your passion for education from? Was that something your parents put into you, something you learned as a young teacher? Well, where did it come from?
Yeah, my dad. My dad was a science teacher, so I grew up around education. I always wanted to be a teacher. I would love math. I mean, after school, I would go to his classroom, and he'd be grading or working after school. And there's another teacher. His name was Gary Halbert. It's a good friend of my dad, and Gary would give me math problems, and I'd work them on the chalkboard. And I kind of always knew I wanted to be a teacher. And I love education. I love public education. And I grew up in Southern Indiana. So, you talk about, I can describe every gymnasium in Southern Indiana for you. And you're talking about being in Paoli. You were talking about being outside. But I can describe all the bowl gyms in Southern Indiana because they're the ones I like the most, like Orleans and Brownstown and West Washington. I love all those old gyms. So I think I get the passion pretty honestly from my family.
Outstanding. Well, that's great. I was really good at math until they put letters in it. Whose idea was that?
Not a good one.
All right, buddy, what time does everything start tonight? And by the way, if you can't make it down there to 553 East Miller Drive, you guys are still doing hybrid meetings, right, where you can watch online?
That's right. You can still watch online. It's at the CoLab if you want to come in person, 6 p.m., 553 East Miller Drive. And, again, you can watch it on our website. And Mike, I do want to give one quick shout-out.
Take your time. We got all day.
The Kiwanis Club.
Oh, you read my mind.
Sponsors for us. And they are sponsoring an all-you-can-eat pancake breakfast this Saturday. It's from 8 to 11 in the morning. So, here's the deal. You can go run at Grandview, and then you can come load up on pancakes. It's at First United Church. The price is $10 for adults, $5 for children 10 and under. And the great thing is it goes for some really good causes, and that includes the Keith Klein Memorial Fund. As you know, Keith was a legendary member of the MCCSC Board of Directors, a big supporter of the Kiwanis Club, and this is a fundraiser that provides funds for many causes that Keith supported, and I know Keith is dearly missed in this community and as well as at MCCSC. So if you have time, pancake breakfast, it is at First United Church. It's this Saturday, 8 to 11, sponsored by the Kiwanis Club, as well as the foundation of Monroe County Community School.
And 8 a.m. to 11, and I want everyone to know as well, you can stop in and get it to go. You don't have to stay and eat. Everybody's busy on Saturday morning. We just listed 400 things that are going on. But if you are out that way, pop in. You can feed your family. You can make a great donation. And as you mentioned, all that money stays right here in our community.
But to be clear, in this order, I recommend that you do the run at Grandview and then eat the pancakes, and not the other way around.
The run at Grandview starts at 9, so you'd have to hustle over there before the 11 o'clock start.
5K, Mike, you can run 2 miles in 30 minutes, so then go to 10. Because if you eat the pancakes at 8 and then you run, we're going to have a cleanup, and we just don't need that.
I played full court basketball about 3 Saturdays ago for the first time in 25 years, and I'm still here to talk about it. So that is
how did that go? Did you eat pancakes before?
So here's a worse. I had some pizza. So this is an honest truth. No one's listening, so it doesn't really matter. It's Saturday afternoon, and it's lunchtime. So yeah, grab a slice of a little leftover pizza. Let's go.
My wife goes,
"Hey, can you take our son to meet some friends to play some so he can play some hoops?" And I'm like, "Of course, I'll drive him. No sweat." So we get over to the hoopatorium, and there's everybody, dads and kids, sweating. Oh, hey, they're here. We can play 4-on-4 full court. I'm like, what?
Oh, no.
What? Thankfully, I had some kind of athletic gear on, running shoes and the whatnot, and I just looked at my son, and I'm like, well, I can't say no, but I could die. So he could either lose his dad or gain an hour of cool dad time. So I lived to tell about it. I was sore for a week, but here we are. Again,
I do hope
stretch. Everybody stretch before.
I do hope all your listeners have learned from now to
stretch, right?
To stretch, but to listen to you, but not always do what you do.
Well, that's what I tell my son: do as I say, not as I do. Unless you're playing full court basketball, I couldn't let him down. I couldn't. So that was good. So I feel better. That's for sure.
At least you could get out of bed the next morning. I don't know if I could. So. Well, we'll see you at the 5K on Saturday.
You got a better chance at the breakfast, buddy.
All right. Hey, thanks for all you do for MCCSB.
Appreciate it.
We always appreciate
thanks.
It.
Thanks. Thanks for reminding me of the crossword thing. That was really
a neat story,
my man. Do I have any homework for May? Do you need me to get anything lined up for May?
Just
make sure the Reds keep winning.
Make sure that you tune in 4 weeks so we can continue the conversation. We'll talk about graduation.
I'll give you
some graduation statistics.
You
got a lot to celebrate.
I like that. And I'll give you hopefully good graduation weather as well. Thanks, pal.
I love it.
See you.
I love
bye.
It. All right. Take care.
Bye. Jeff Hoswald, the doctor, is in. He is busy and he's heading to the MCCSC collab tonight. Why? Well, that's the site of the big meeting, the monthly meeting. 553 East Miller Drive, and open to the public. You can also watch online. You can find out more information, mccsc.edu/board meeting.